Here, Williams Means Business on News Talk ZB.
Good evening. It's now 6:07. Well, with house prices at record highs, a recent report has taken aim at government regulation for holding back building progress. The New Zealand Initiative says the Resource Management Act and Building Act are in urgent need of overhaul, and immigration is not causing the rise in house prices. And Jason Krupp is a research fellow with the New Zealand Initiative, and Jason Krupp is with us. He worked on this report. And Jason, good evening to you.
Hi, Larry.
Right, so this is in addition to this recent report. So you say the root causes of house prices going up are not immigration, but three other factors. What are they?
Well, basically, it comes down to the broad church of overregulation of the housing market. I mean, immigrants aren't pushing up apples to record prices. They're not pushing up haircuts to record prices. But they are pushing up things like housing. And the reason we have a problem with housing and not with apples is that housing is overregulated. Things like the Resource Management Act, the Local Government Act, and the Land Transport Management Act, which is how we put in infrastructure, make it so difficult to put in a house, to put in infrastructure, to pay for these things, that basically we haven't been building enough houses for decades now. And the results are that we're now the fifth most expensive city in the world in which to buy a house, according to Demographia.
And if you dealt to all of those regulatory issues, you believe the market would return?
Definitely. I mean, we've seen, we've tasted this pudding, so to speak, in places like Houston and also in places like Switzerland, where they have a system that is far more encouraging of letting the market respond to supply. So when there's demand for housing in Houston, people build it. The result is that house prices have been flat for over 30 years there after you adjust for inflation.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's a good or bad thing, but anyway, and Houston's a bit different, isn't it? I mean, what they do is, and these other places, they actually make sure the infrastructure is in place before they build the houses.
Well, that's exactly right. And we just have put in a system that basically makes it, it works as a disincentive for local councils to put in infrastructure because it's costly. And every time you go to the voting booth to get re-elected or, you know, there's an election, you then have to tell voters why rates are going up. And that's never a formula for putting in infrastructure. So part of our housing research, which is complementary to the immigration stuff, is to look at these log jams, these regulatory log jams. I mean, people often think it's a market failure. It's not. It's a government failure. We did this to ourselves in Parliament.
So you believe you deal with the regulatory issues and immigrants will make no difference? I mean, don't you fix the infrastructure before you let the immigrants come in, though, to release the pressure?
Well, this is part of the debate we think needs to be had. So, you know, when people look at immigration, they tend to only count the costs. You know, we certainly agree that immigrants increase housing pressures, not necessarily on the house price side of it, but certainly in the rental market and definitely on infrastructure. But you also have to look at the benefits that immigrants bring. I mean, immigrants bring us the skills that our economy needs to keep turning over. And we need to assess the benefits also against the costs. So, you know, some people who argue we should just turn off the tap to immigration to fix house prices aren't counting the negative effects that that decision would have in other parts of our economy.
But immigration obviously means more people. Doesn't it then follow that because of the pressure on house prices, that actually increases house prices?
Not necessarily, because if you break down the numbers, what you'll see is that 60% of permanent and long-term arrivals that come into New Zealand are people here on a temporary work visa, and the vast majority of those will end up going home at some stage. So they're likely to be active in the rental market. They're not really active in the buying market. When you look at the numbers on the buying market, it is more to do with native-born New Zealanders. It's those people who are returning from overseas, and it's also those people who are not going on their OE or going to try their hand at cracking it in London, because relative to everywhere else, New Zealand's economy is doing just fine.
And right. Okay. So the headline number at 72,000 is not the real picture anyway, because of the Australians and New Zealanders returning. I understand that. I get all that. But you can't just discount the fact that we are getting more immigration and wage growth is actually stagnant at best, isn't it?
I think wage growth is picking up and tracking with inflation as far as I can see. And also, when we look at other indicators in the job market, we've noticed that the number of online job ads, which MB tracks, has been rising in the past couple of months. And we see signs of labor market tightening. And if we were to see pressure from immigration, you would expect it at the low end of the market, where people have very few skills or low value skills. And according to a recent report that came out and was, you know, it wasn't widely reported in the press, but this is where they're seeing high demand for work. And so there's huge demand at the low skill end of it. And we think that, you know, you could end up ankle tapping the relative economic prosperity that we're enjoying at the moment now if you didn't count the benefits and only counted the costs of immigration.
Jason, thank you so much. Good to talk to you again. That is Jason Krupp, New Zealand Initiative, News Talk ZB. It's 12 past six.
We chose Mike Greer Homes because